So let's begin today with some definitions. Last time we started with some examples. Today we'll begin some definitions. So let's start with the definition of what a linear transformation is. So a function, let's call it T, from Rn into Rm, which assigns to each vector u, say, in Rn, a vector denoted by T of u in Rm is said to be linear a linear transformation where the word transformation, sometimes mapping or transformation are used interchangeably. The book refers to transformation. But you can think of this, the T takes a vector in Rn and transforms it into a vector in Rm according to some rule. If, and this is the basic property, that if you take a linear combination of two vectors u and v in Rn, what you get is that that vector can be determined knowing just the values of T on u and v, according to the following rule, is A T of u plus B T of v. Okay. We used this property last time in our example very heavily, but let's just give some examples of such linear transformations. So today I'm going to give a few definitions with a lot of examples. So the first example of a linear transformation, if A is an R, is an M by N matrix, then you can define machine is slow today. You can define a linear transformation of Rn into Rn, notice the interchange of M and N there, as follows, T of x equals ax. Okay. So here we write the vectors of Rn and Rm as columns. As columns, column matrices. Let me call this mapping, actually I give it a name, I'll put a superscript A under the T. So this is a transformation which is associated to the matrix A. These are the ones we're going to be studying the most. Now why is it linear? Because I said it's linear, so it's linear since, well, if I take TA of AU plus BV, well, let me call them, X's and Y's. Usually I like capital letters for columns, so let me just, instead of the U and the V, I'll call it X and Y for column matrices, just to keep me consistent. AX plus BY, now X and Y are column matrices. Now, by definition, this is A times the column vector AX plus BY. And now by the distributive property and the fact that we can move scalars around in matrix multiplication, this becomes then A times AX plus B times AY, which is equal to A times A times the vector T sub A of X plus B times the vector T sub A of Y. So left multiplication by an m by n matrix on n by 1 matrix, it sends those vectors, those columns, into m by 1 matrices in a linear way. And we used that property actually when we were doing our problem last time in terms of that we used this property very heavily, this property of linearity, when we use these eigenvectors. And the natural place to study eigenvectors is in the setting of a linear transformation. Actually, in the case of a linear transformation of Rn into Rn. Here I allow m not to be equal to n, but we're studying eigenvectors and eigenvectors. We want to study transformations of Rn into itself. And so there you can make sense to ask that a vector be sent into a scalar multiple of itself. Let's give a numerical example. So let's take A to be a 2 by 3 matrix, say 1, 2, 3, 1, 0, 1. So that's a 2 by 3 matrix. Now that'll define a linear transformation of R what into R what. So how do I define T sub A? T sub A of X. What is X? What kind of matrix do I need? What's the size? I have to multiply A times X. A has three columns. So it's a 1 by, it's 2 by 3, so I have to multiply by 3 by 1. So here A, AX, so X here has to be in R. In R3, or R3 by 1, if you like. TAX is then just equal to AX. If you like, so just write this all out. So you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 1, 0, 1. And then the column, let's call little x, little y, the entries of capital X. So this looks like the familiar y, x plus 2y plus z, and then x plus 3z. X plus z. Okay. So that's what it looks like. Or if you like, if you want to be, don't write things as columns, you can write TA, if you like, XY, just writing them horizontally. Then this looks like this. This is just going to be, let me use round brackets here, because I'm not, it's going to be matrix neutral in a sense. So this will be, the first entry will be X plus 2Y plus 3Z. Pardon? Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I need a Z, don't I? I really need a Z. Thank you. It was up here. I just didn't bring it down. So I want to write down the entries of X, which is a 3 by 1 matrix. So I want to write X, Y, Z. And then, so then I get a 2 by 1 matrix, so the, which is an element of R2. So X is going, so T of A is that, so this is going to, this is in, this belongs to R2. So I start with a column vector, X, Y, Z in R3, and by this process I get a column vector in R2. So I can just write this X plus Z. Okay. And this is a linear transformation. Okay. Maybe just give one more example. Let's take A to be the, say, just the 2 by 2 matrix, 1, 2, say 2, 1. Then the associated transformation TA will map R what into R what in this case. The 2 by 2 will map R2 into R2, or map the plane into the plane. Right? So it's R2 into R2. And here, TA, let's just write this of XY, is then just going to be equal to 1, 2, 2, 1, XY, which is just equal to X plus 2Y, and then 2X plus Y. Okay. So in this particular case, if I take TA, I can send it into another vector in the plane, and if I like, I can do it again. This is what's useful about transformations of a set into itself, is that you can iterate the process. And we saw how that iteration was useful in solving some problems. Because in the problem of finding that the nth term of that sequence defined by a linear recursion rule amounted to computing the nth power of a matrix, which is really viewing, as we'll see in a minute, is just you're just multiplying by that matrix n times. You're transforming the vectors in the plane just by multiplying successively by A and then creating powers of A. So this is a very useful useful thing to do, as it turns out, in mathematics. And you get a lot of interesting phenomena that can be isolated using this property. Okay. So let me talk about that a little bit, composition. So in other words, if say if T from R n into Rm and say S from Rn into say Rm into R sub P are linear, then the composition that these are functions, so you can compose them, namely you do T first and then compose with S, defined by, well, S composed with T on X, what do you do? You first, it's S of T of X. In other words, you take T of X, that's a vector in R M, and then so it can be, it is subject to being applied by, that vector can be applied to by S. You can apply S to T of X, and that you'll get something in Rp. Now, why is this linear? Well, since if you take S composed with T of, say, AU plus BV, now by definition that's S of T of AU plus BV. Now, inside, T is linear, so let's compute inside the big brackets there, T of AU plus BV, and by the linearity of T, this is A T of U plus B T of V. And now S is linear, so I have a linear combination of vectors in Rm, namely T of U and T of V, and since the linearity of S, this is an A S of T of U plus B S of T of V, which I can write as A, by definition of composition of S and T, S composed with T of U plus B S composed with T of V. So therefore, the composition of linear transformations is linear. Well, we've already seen that actually composition of linear transformations is related to matrix multiplication. So let's just see how that is. So if say, let's take its specific case. Let's take the linear transformation TA from RN into RM. So here A is then M by N. And let's take T sub B, a transformation of Rm into Rp. And here B would have to be an M by P matrix. Sorry, P by, sorry, M by N. Yeah, so here B would have to be, of course, is P by M. Then if I take, so in other words, TA of X, so TA of X equals AX, and TB of Y, Y is a vector in RM, is then going to be BY. So now if I take the composition, first TA composed with T lower B, apply this to X, then by definition, this is T lower B applied to TA of X. Now, TB is just multiplication by B, and TA of X is multiplication by A. And now, this is then by the associativity of matrix multiplication is just BAX. Now, BA is then going to be, so this is equal to TBA. So in other words, if you take linear transformations of this type, left multiplication by B and compose and A and compose them, then the matrices of these transformations, if you like, actually multiply in this way. Now these In fact, this is a very, you may think this is a special situation, this is actually quite general. In other words, any linear transformation, let's just show that, any transformation, any linear transformation of Rn into Rm, of Rn into Rn is of the form T sub A for some A belonging to A M by M matrix A. M by N matrix A. Well, let's just see that. Well, indeed, and this is going to use another, the property of linearity. Indeed, if, say, x is a vector in Rn, you can write x in this way in terms of the standard basis, x1 e1 plus xn en, where ei is the standard basis, namely you have 0 everywhere except in the ith entry where you have a 1. Of course, here the x1 through xn are just going to be the entries in x. So if we take tx and use the property of linearity, tx is going to be x1 t of e1 plus xn t of en. And so if we write t of ei to be equal to ai, that's going to be a column matrix, then, and let a be the, I'm going to have to, be the m by n matrix whose columns are the ai's, then you, by what we see is on the right-hand side, you have a linear columns of the a linear combination of the columns of a matrix, where the coefficients x1 are x1 through xn. That's just a times x. That's exactly what it is, because we've all seen that before. So in this case, the m by n matrix whose columns are A1, AM. Okay. Then T of X is just multiplication, is just AX. In other words, T, that linear transformation that I started with, is in fact left multiplication by a matrix A, and that matrix A has for columns the images, if you like, the values assigned to the standard basis vectors by the transformation T. So every linear transformation of Rn into Rm is of this type, left multiplication by a matrix A. So it's, but we'll see that knowing T on a particular basis isn't good for a problem. You really want to know its effect on another basis, because it may be able, it may be easier to compute the transformation T on another basis, like in computing the matrix multiplication. We saw that just knowing the columns of A for that wasn't really very suited for that particular problem of taking the powers. Another basis, namely the basis we found where these which were the eigenvectors of A, was much better suited computing the powers of A, simply because the transformation transformed those basis vectors in a much nicer way than, in a much more transparent way than did the original, the columns. Okay. Then T of X is just equal to AX, i.e. T equals this transformation T sub A. Okay. Now, T is completely determined. From here, we can see if T is linear, mapping of Rn to Rm, and we know T on the standard basis vectors, we know T. We know it's actually, this matrix A is called the standard matrix of T. Let me write that down. The matrix A is called the standard matrix of T. Or if you like, it's the matrix of T with respect to the standard basis. I'll define the matrix of T. You can actually define a concept of a matrix T with respect to any basis, but for now, let's just content ourselves with the standard matrix. We'll actually use that a lot in a little bit later. Okay, now if, say, U1, UN is a basis for Rn, supposing we take some other basis, then you can take any, and then X in Rn can be written, X, say, equals A1, say, X, A1, U1, plus A2, U2, plus An, UN, and where the A's, where A1, An, are unique for X. In other words, if you like, these are the coordinates of X with respect to that new basis. Okay. So in other words, they tell you, if you take instead of the standard basis these U's, then those tell you how to negotiate your space by going in directions parallel to the UIs instead of going in directions parallel to the standard basis vectors. You just have a different roadmap for your town. That's all it is. Okay, they're called the coordinates. Of X with respect to WRT with respect to the basis UN. Okay. Now if I take T, then T of X is then going to be A1 T of U1 plus A2 T of U2 plus AN T of UN. So in other words, if I have a linear transformation and I know the effect of that transformation on some basis, then I know T. Let's just do an example, isn't it? This will be an illustration of an example, one of the web work problems, where you're given a linear transformation and you're told its effect on a particular independent set of vectors or basis for the plane, and you're asked to compute the standard matrix of T, or at least you want to compute the images of the standard basis vectors U1 and U0. And again, if you look back in the problem I did last time, we did actually that type of calculation, go from one basis to another, used by writing a vector X in terms of the new basis, where I knew something about how the basis was transformed by a given linear transformation. And then I recovered the effect on X. So this is the principle of linearity. You can divide and conquer by taking a complex problem and splitting it up into simpler problems, which you can solve individually. Much more easy than the whole problem. So very, very important. Linear problems are really the ideal in terms of, for mathematics, in terms of having really an algorithmic way of solving the problem. Unfortunately, life isn't so linear. It's curved, and most of the problems are nonlinear. But fortunately, one can employ linear techniques by, for example, you take a curve. The tangent vector is a very useful gadget to solve. It's a line, so it's an approximation to the curve. So one can use techniques of linear algebra by this process of looking at locally, and this is very, very important in the calculus, as you discover later, the study of Jacobians and with respect to, okay.
W dot R dot T equals with respect to, okay.
Okay. I get tired, and I have to economize in space here. If I want to get everything down, I'm going to have to. But, so just if I make any, these are standard ones which are used everywhere. If I haven't defined them before, don't hesitate to ask. So WRT with respect to. Okay. Now let's give an example of the use of this. So in other words, I should say that in words. So T is determined, completely determined,
this is the moral of the story, determined by the effect of T on a basis. A basis. Any basis will do.
You don't need the standard basis. In fact, the problem may be you want a note for the standard basis, you see.
Okay. Let's give an example. Well, find the linear transformation T, say, of R2 into R2 . Now, why such a linear transformation should exist, we'll see in a minute, because actually that rule I wrote up here can actually be used to define T. Because that rule there, I know X uniquely in terms of the U's, and that formula tells me what T of X. So that defines a way of computing T of X for any X. And you can actually show that it's linear. I'll do that in a minute. But let me just show you how to, if you're given a linear transformation T from R2 into R2, and you're told, say, T of 1, 2 is equal to 1, 1, and T of, say, 1, 3 is equal to 2, 1. Find the matrix of T in the standard basis. Or find the standard matrix of T, actually, which is the same thing. Find the standard matrix of T. Which is the matrix of T with respect to the standard basis. The standard matrix of T. Well, to do that, what we have to do is we have to compute 1, 0 in terms of these columns, and we have to compute 0, 1 in terms of those two columns, like we did before. So let's just do it in general. So let's take, if we take x, y, I claim you can write that as a into 1, 1 plus b into 2, 1. Oh, sorry. 1, 2. Sorry, got the wrong ones. So. So it's the vectors I'm taking t are 1, 2 and 1, 3. So 1, 2 and 1, 3. In fact, I think we did this last time. So why can I do that? Why can I write? Why is this possible? Yeah.
Because the vectors 1 and 2 and 1 and 3 are linearly independent, yeah. And they're basis.
So therefore, there are two vectors in R2. They're a basis. They're two independent vectors. Actually, independent for two vectors is easy. They just have to be non-proportional. So that's very easy to test the independence. Spanning is a little harder. This is what we're going to show in this thing. It actually spans, and actually you can write down what the A is. Here we can actually, we did it last time. I don't know if you remember. So we had A plus B equals to, so we had, I could go back to, so in fact, what is A here? Let me just do the calculation. So here I have A plus B equals X. I have 2a plus 3b equals y. Subtract, I get b equals to y minus 2x. So here a equals, b is equal to y minus 2x. Or that's b, sorry. So if I subtract off twice the first from the second, I'll get b equals y minus 2x. And then a is then going to be, from here is then A, then B is, I'm sorry, what did I say? I said A meant B, and okay. Or I did it the other way around. I erased A and I wanted to put B and I wrote A again. So here B is equal to Y minus 2X, and then A I can solve from, so A is then going to be equal to X minus B, and X minus B is equal to 3X minus y. So in other words, you have your x, y is there, where there's the formula. So if I want to compute t of 1, 0, why do I want to compute t of 1, 0? Yeah, I'm trying to compute the standard matrix of t because I want to give its description in the coordinates x, y of the standard coordinates x, y. Okay. Actually, I have its description in terms of another coordinate system, but anyway, t of 1, 0, so here in this particular case, is I just have it here. So in this case, if I take 1, 0, so this is equal to a, well, which is, so in other words, let me just write out 1, 0 before I do that. Before I take t of it, I should write out what it is. Okay, so here I have 1, 0 is then going to be equal to, if I take 1, 0, x is 1, so you're going to have a is going to be 3, so this is 3 into 1, 2, and then b is going to be equal to minus 2. And 0, 1 is then going to be equal to, a is then going to be equal to minus 1, 2, and then b is going to be equal to 1 plus 1, 3. So these are the expressions of the standard basis vectors in terms of these other bases, 1, 2, and 1, 3, where I have some information about t. Now, so now using this and the linearity of t of 1, 0 is then going to be equal to 3 t of 1, 2, minus 2t of 1, 3. And this is, okay, can I get this all in one line? I don't know. So this is equal to what? What is 3t of 1, 2? Well, this is going, let's just write it out. This is going to be 3, t of 1, 2 is 1, 1, minus 2, t of 1, 3, and t of 1, 3 is 2, 1. So I put this all together, I just get the vector 3 minus 4, which is minus 1, and then 3 minus 2, which is 1. So in other words, t of 1, 0 is the vector minus 1, 1. Okay, everybody see how you do that? Okay. Actually, I can flip the computer so I can see it this way, but unfortunately on the screen it gets sideways. So, I mean, I could have more space, but I haven't figured out how to actually get the screen this way, in portrait mode. Here I'm looking at it in landscape in some sense. Okay, so let's go on to the next. Okay, I'm going to have to go back in a minute. So now we have to take t of 0, 1. Okay, now this is equal to what we said before, 0, 1. If we can remember what 0, 1 was, let's go back. 0, 1 was minus 1, 2 plus 1, 3. So this is t of minus 1, 2 plus 1, 3. And by linearity, this is minus t of 1, 2 plus t of 1, 3. And this is equal, what is t of 1, 2? That was 1, 1. Okay. And then t of 1, 3 is 2, 1. And so what I get here is equal to 1, 0. T of 0, 1 goes to 1, 0. Okay. So therefore, what is the matrix of t? So now I've got, therefore, the standard matrix of t is the matrix A equal to. Well, what is the matrix of T? How do I get it? Its columns are the images of 1, 0 and 0, 1. So in the first one, 1, 0, it's on the other page, was minus 1, 1, and then 1, 0. So i.e., T of x, y Now, once I know the standard, I can now compute it basically by linearity as we saw before. And in terms of any basis, this is equal to minus 1, 1, 1, 0, x, y, which is equal to minus x plus y and x. So there it is. Or if I can write it in kind of a neutral way, t of a point xy is the point minus x plus y and x. So now you found the transformation t in terms of the coordinates of the plane, even though you didn't know it explicitly in terms of those coordinate vectors, but you knew the images of t on some basis of R2. And that was enough to allow you to compute using the linearity of t. It wouldn't work if t wasn't linear. This does not work for nonlinear things. Linear things are nice. OK. Now, why is that? See, if we take, in fact, the formula I wrote before, so if u1, un is a basis for Rn, and say v1 through v, n are vectors in Rm, then there is a unique linear transformation t from Rn into Rm such that T of ui is equal to vi. Name, what is it? Let's define t, namely if, say, if u equals, say, a1 u1 plus an un, then t of u is equal to a1 t of u1 plus a2 t of u2 plus a n t of un. Now, that defines a function from Rn into Rm. The problem is it linear? Let's just check. T is linear for if I have, say, a vector v, if I write it b1 u1 plus bn u n, then I take t of au plus bv. Okay. Then how do I compute that? Well, what is au of bv? Well, I have to write it to compute t as, according to my formula. I have to write it as a linear combination of the ui. So let's take au plus bv, and so we'll get au1 plus b. I'm sorry, aa1 plus bb1 u1. And then plus the coefficient of un, or a times a1 plus b times b1 un. And then by the definition of t, I have now a linear combination of uis, and I know the coefficient, so by the definition of t, my formula up there, then this is going to be a1 plus b b1 times v1 plus a1 plus b b1 times vn. And of course, you can rewrite this as A into A1 V1 plus AN VN, and then plus B into linear combinations B1 V1 plus BN VN. Now, this is just AT of U plus BT of V. Okay. So that shows that if I want to define a linear transformation, all I have to do is prescribe it on a basis, and I know that there is a unique linear transformation which will send these n vectors into n other vectors in Rn. And in fact, we use that in the example. In fact, we found in our previous example, we've actually, if you just check it, well, you can actually, we've defined t, you can actually check that t works. So we should have, in our example here, you could have just checked that this is a linear, this is obviously a linear transformation, and if you take, well, it's built that way. If you take t of what is t of, what was the first vector? 1, 2. If you take t of 1, 2, what do you get? T of 1, 2 is 1, sorry, t, what is t of 1, 2? T of 1, 2 is 1 and 1, which is correct, right? That was what we said it was. T of, and then if you take t of 0, 1, take t of 0, 1, it's minus 1, 1, which is correct. So we, there it is. You actually did it. So this process that we've showed here, this actually works, and you can use it to construct linear transformation to do a prescribed thing. Okay, let's give some more. Yeah. That's the standard matrix of a linear transformation. If I have a linear transformation, okay, its standard matrix is obtained as follows. The columns are the images of the transformation on the standard basis vectors, which are 1, 0, and 0, 1. Okay, so you were given a linear transformation which had a prescribed effect on the vectors 1, 2, and 1, 3. Okay, and I'm showing you how to actually find that linear transformation which does that. Okay. So in other words, to do that, I had to compute this. I had to construct my linear transformation by actually finding its standard matrix. And I did that by taking t of 1, 0, and 0, 1. And I can do that because even though I don't know that, I can compute it because I can write 1, 0, and 0, 1 as a linear combination of those of the basis on which I know the effect of t. And that does the job. Is everyone clear on that? I mean, basically, this is a basic idea in linearity, okay, that you're using linear combinations to make a calculation on certain vectors where you know the calculation on other vectors. You can actually bring it, you can actually change, it's just a process of change of coordinate. In the real world, coordinates, you don't see coordinate systems around, and you have to invent them, and sometimes you create them, but then sometimes you create the wrong one to describe the problem. That's not the right one to solve the problem. So you have to find the correct coordinate system, if you like, to solve the problem, and that's the big problem in one of the big problems in mathematics, in linear problems, finding the correct basis. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I don't understand why in the first line t of a u plus b, we only have a ones plus b ones.
Well, you have a u is a one u one plus a n u v n. Those are v's. So those are v's there. Namely if no, that's right, and. What do you mean more an? I don't understand. I'm taking, I have n an, n ais. For u, I have n coefficients. And for v, I have n b's. And I'm taking a u plus b v. There's two numbers. And I'm taking that linear combination. So it's a times u1, a times a1 plus b times b1, coefficient u1. And then the last one will be a times, a n, thank you. A times a n. Plus b times bn. I had it right underneath, so I just forgot. Okay? So you're just taking a times that first linear combination, multiplying by a, and then multiplying the second by b, and taking coefficients of corresponding vectors u1 through un, and you get those n numbers, which are the coordinates, if you like, of the vector au plus bv in the new coordinate system. And those are predictable. They're linear combination of the coordinates of the vectors u and v with respect to the uis. Again, that's again what makes that work. Okay, let's give some more examples of linear transformations now. So we're going to construct several geometric examples. The first one is a rotation. About the origin, about the origin in the plane, counterclockwise, through an angle theta. Okay, so if you have, let me just describe that. So if you take So if we take our plane, and if we take our vector, say this is x, y. Yep. Yeah? Yes. Because what's inside here, if you look inside, A times this linear combination is actually U. Okay. That's how we started. We take U and V, and I write them as linear combinations of the UIs. Okay? So in other words, then I take AU plus BV to compute that, because I only know how to compute T on linear combinations of UIs. So to compute T of AU plus BV, I have to write AU plus BV as a linear combination of the UIs. And I got that from the coefficients of U and the coordinates of U and V with respect to the UIs. And so in doing that, so in other words, it's A times this linear combination V1 plus A1 V1 plus AN VN, but that's just U. But what is, that's T of U. That's how we define T of U. If you look above, to compute T of U, I write U as a linear combination of UIs, and then T of U will be that same linear combination, but actually I should have written this here, actually, maybe I should have put this. It's a good idea to actually put this there. I skipped a line here. But you see the T of UI is VI. So this is actually going to be equal to. So let me just, if I just put this here, this is actually equal to A1 V1 plus A2 V2 plus AN VN. In other words, I want T of UI to be equal to VI. All right, so this is what I'm doing. So in other words, if I want to compute T of U, I write U in terms of the UIs. And then define T of U. See, I want T to be linear. So I define T of U like this. In other words, by linearity. I'm not assuming that T is linear. I'm just defining T of U this way. That's all. Where T of UI, of course, I've said before, is VI. So that's what I want. Okay? That's how I'm defining T. So if I like in the other problem, I gave you T of this 1, 2, and 1, 3, and then using that, you can define T on any linear combination of it. And what I'm going to show now is that, in fact, that's linear, and this is what I've done. Okay. So what I'm going to rotate that through theta degrees. So if I take, I'll just take the same vector. Whoops, wrong color. So I'm just going to rotate that thing through, get that the same length. This is going to be, I'll call that r theta xy. And this is counterclockwise through the angle theta. Okay. So in other words, I'm taking that vector x, looking at it, look at the line segment joining, and rotate that through an angle theta. Now the endpoint is going to be r theta x. So I want to compute r theta xy. Now, the point here is that r theta is linear. Now, r theta is an example of a distance-preserving transformation. It actually also fixes the origin. So we're going to show a little bit later that those things are always linear. In fact, in Rn, they're always linear. But in this case, let me just give a geometric argument of that. Well, you can see that really well this way. If you take vectors u and v, and I'm supposing I take AU, and I stretch this by, this is BV, and now if I want to take the diagonal of that parallelogram, it's almost a parallelogram, not very good. I'll clean it up later. Maybe I'll just clean it up a bit here. Hope not everything gets wiped up. Okay.
So let me just draw this a little. It's hard to draw things well this way because. And then let's complete the parallelogram. Now the diagonal here is T of AU plus BV. I'm sorry, it's AU, no T yet. All right. It's AU plus BV. That's the problem with erasing this thing you just get. Okay. It's AU plus BV. That's the diagonal. Now I'm going to rotate all of that through an angle theta. What's going to happen to that parallelogram? It's going to look the same. Only I will have rotated the whole thing through theta degrees. I'll still get a parallelogram. This diagonal will be sent to the other diagonal, so the diagonal of the rotated. Let's just rotate this thing through theta. Well, let me take theta to be a little bigger than what I had here. So if I rotate this through an angle theta, well, so I'm rotating this through an angle theta. Well, I actually want to rotate, this is going to be AU, so let me just, it's not quite the right size, and then I'm going to take this, say here, so this is going to be, so here this is, say, you're going to be, this is going to be T of U, sorry, this is going to be T, this is going to be here, my T, pesky mosquito, T of U, and this is going to be T of V here, and then this is going to be T of AU, then here this is going to be T of AV, and I'm going to take the draw in the parallelogram. So in other words, this should be parallelogram rotated through theta degrees. Okay. So now if I take this diagonal here, this is going to be T of AU plus BV. Okay. So here I should have, okay. So you can see right away from this diagram is that the diagonal goes to the diagonal. So take T of AU plus BV. But what is that diagonal? It's from here, you see it's additive. So this implies that T of AU plus BV, that's the rotated diagonal. Well, now if you look at the parallelogram, by the geometry, that's the parallelogram of that rotated one, which is then just going to be equal to T of AU plus T of BV, right? Because that's the diagonal, and the sides are T of AU and T of AV. But now if you look at T of AU, here's U and AU, and it's rotated. Now the vector T of U is going to be A times the vector T of, the vector T of AU will be A times the vector T of U. So this is going to be just from the geometry. So this is AT of U plus BT of V, where here T is R theta. T is R theta here. Now let's use that to compute the matrix of T. So let's compute now R theta. So how do I compute so I want to describe R theta in terms of coordinates, knowing that it's linear now, allows me to compute it knowing the images of R theta on the standard basis. Now, what is the image of 1, 0? If I take 1, 0 and I rotate it through theta degrees, what vector do I get? What are the components? Little trig, R cos theta, sine theta. And what is R theta of 0, 1? Well, that's a little trickier. If I have to take 0, 1 and I rotate it through theta degrees, what can you say about the, well, 1, 0 and 0, 1 are perpendicular. When I rotate them, they're still going to be perpendicular. Okay? So what is a perpendicular, and it's going to be of unit the same length. So cos theta squared, cos squared plus sine squared is 1, so that's a unit vector. I rotate that through 0, 1 through theta degrees. I get a vector which is going to be perpendicular to that. Now, it's easy to write down a unit vector which is perpendicular to that. In fact, there's two, one up to sine. I just have to get the sine right. One is minus sine theta cos theta, or sine theta minus cos theta. Well, you see, the first one is correct, because if cos theta is positive,
then I'm sorry, if cosine sine theta is positive, you're in the first coordinate. When I rotate, when I rotate it, I'm going to have to get something in the second quadrant. So the first coordinate should be negative. So it's going to be minus sine theta cos theta. So if you take that's going to work. So for example, if cos theta and sine theta are less than 90 degrees, then cos theta and sine theta are positive. And this vector on the right hand is a minus sine theta cos theta, but certainly a vector which is perpendicular to cos theta sine theta. Just take the dot product, you get 0. Minus sine theta cos theta plus sine theta cos theta is 0. And the sine is right. Then the x coordinate is negative, the y coordinate is positive. So it has the right. If I took minus that, which is the other possibility, I'd get something down here which is not right. Okay. So now I know the standard matrix. Of R theta is equal to cos theta sine theta minus sine theta cos theta. And R theta of, let's write it as columns, xy is equal to cos theta minus sine theta cos theta xy, which is equal to x cos theta minus y sine theta. And the other entry is x sine theta plus y cos theta. Or if you like writing it out in horizontally, these vectors, xy is equal to x cos theta minus y sine theta, and then x sine theta plus y cos theta.
Okay. Okay. Everyone clear with that? So now we can compute the formula for the rotation of any vector in the plane. We know how to rotate any point counterclockwise through theta degrees. Now, a nice feature of this rotation is the following. This is kind of cute. If you take r of say theta 1 plus theta 2, what if you rotate through theta 1 plus theta 2? That's the same thing as rotating through theta 1 degrees and then rotating through theta 2 degrees. Actually, it doesn't matter the order in this particular case. So in this case, if you take r theta 1 and r theta 2, those two linear transformations commute because if you take the product, it's just rotation through theta 1 plus theta 2. And it doesn't matter if you do rotate through theta 1 and then theta 2 or then theta 2 and then theta 2. It's the same. So this is an example of commuting matrices that comes up very naturally. You can see the commutative law in Y. Whereas if you looked at the matrices, it wouldn't be so obvious that they did commute. Whereas here, geometrically, you can see why they do commute. That's why it's useful to have a geometric idea of linear transformation so much as you can do it. Okay, so in this particular case, the standard matrix of R theta 1 plus theta 2? Well, it's cosine theta 1 plus theta 2, sine theta 1 plus theta 2, and then minus sine theta 1 plus theta 2, and then cosine theta 1 plus theta 2. That has to be the product of the matrices. Remember, if you take we showed just before that if you take a composition of two linear transformations, and if you know their standard matrices, then the standard matrix of the product is the product of the standard matrices. So this is then, in other words, this says is cos theta 1, sine theta 1 minus sine theta 1 cos theta 1. And if you write this out, this is going to have the same with theta 2. Cos theta 2 sine theta 2 minus sine theta 2 cosine theta 2. And from here, you get something quite nice coming out. If you just actually do the multiplication, you're going to see that you get cos theta 1 plus theta 2 is what? It's going to be cos theta 1 cos theta 2 minus sine theta 1 sine theta 2. So these are the trigonometric identities. The addition laws for sine and cos come out from the simple geometric fact that rotation through theta 1 degrees, it's followed by rotation through theta 2 degrees, and rotation through theta 1 plus theta 2 degrees. Cos theta 1 cos theta 2 minus sine theta 1 sine theta 2. Okay. And then if you take that's the first row, if you take the second row,
you're going to get sine theta 1 plus theta 2 is equal to sine, it's going to be sine theta 1 times cosine theta 2, and then plus cos theta 1 sine theta 2.
So these are the addition laws. You should never forget these now because you know how to get them. Just from the matrix of rotation, just from matrix multiplication, gives you the basic trigonometric addition laws for sine and cosine. Okay. So this is a lot easier than the geometric proof. I mean, really, it really comes out quite nicely here. Okay. Oh, you should know those laws, right? Yeah, okay, I'm going to give another example. This time, let me do a reflection in line. That's another geometric example, which is important. So let's just do another, okay? So let's do a second example. Let's talk about a reflection in a line. Say, let's call it, say, AX plus BY equals 0. Now, this is line through the origin. So now let's just take our so what we want to do is, here's our line. Well, there's our line, and what we want to do is we want to take a point xy and we want to reflect it in the line. So we want to go here, take the perpendicular to here, and then go an equal distance on the other side. So this is going to be, let's call this t of xy. So that's the geometric description of reflection in a line. Okay, I take xy, I drop a perpendicular to the line, and then I take that vector, which I could, and then I just double that vector. Instead of taking that projection down, double that, right? And then that'll get me to the point I want. Okay, so that's just going this way. So let's see how we actually describe this. First of all, there's a couple of things first here. The first thing is xy to the line. What is that? I just look at, drop the perpendicular. What is that vector, that intermediate vector? So if I just take, let's call this intermediate vector, here, let's call that, say, p of xy. That's the foot of the perpendicular. Okay. What is that vector? In what we know, what is that vector? That's the I just projected it orthogonally onto it. This is the orthogonal projection of the vector xy on the line. So in other words, if I take p xy, this is equal to orthogonal projection of onto the line. Onto L. Now I have a formula for that. What is P of XY? P of XY is what's the formula? Well, I need a vector on the line. What's a vector on the line? Well, it's going to be xy. Now I need dotted with some vector on the line. Give me a vector on the line. I'm not fussy. Pardon? A vector on the line. The line is ax plus by. I need a vector on that line. I need a solution to that equation. Give me a solution to that equation. Mine is ba, say. Okay. That'll work. Or a minus b, or any multiple of that will work. Okay, and then I have to multiply that by, well, and I have to divide by the length of that vector, which is a squared plus b squared, and then I have to multiply by that vector minus ba. That's the orthogonal projection on that line. Okay. Now I could actually, and now what I have to do is, so that gives me this, that gives me this vector pxy that from the origin to that point. But now I want to get the other way. How do I get the other way? Actually, what I should be doing is computing the orthogonal projection onto the normal vector. So if I take the normal vector here, this is so a vector on this line would be minus ba.
So a vector, what would be a vector in this direction?
What would it be?
BA. No. AB.
Because it has to be orthogonal to minus BA. Right? It's perpendicular.
Okay. So what I want to do, so in other words, if I take the orthogonal, so in other words, I want to get, so if I take the orthogonal projection of, so let's call Q equals orthogonal projection on, say, L prime, with L prime is a line, so L prime would be the line in this particular, on L prime, then what is Q? Q of xy, what is that?
What is Q of xy? It's the same thing. Instead of going on to L, I'm going on to L prime. Now, in L prime, the vector is AB.
So this is going to be equal to xy dotted with AB divided by A squared plus B squared times AB.
That's orthogonal projection on L prime, the line orthogonal to L.
Now, if I take P plus Q, what do I get? If you take those sums of those P, I have xy is equal to P of xy plus Q of xy.
I'll let you verify this. That's clear. And you project here and there, and the size of the thing, you get
that. So, therefore, let's call the reflection, say, call it T. Well, I call T. So T is my reflection. So what is T of xy? T of xy will be what? Well, it'll be, if you like, it's going to be, so basically, how do I get, it's going to be equal to xy. In other words, if I want to compute, say, P of xy, what is it? It's xy minus Q of xy, right? So this implies that P of xy is equal to xy minus Q of xy. And Q of xy, I have that formula there. Right?
That's how I get P. That's that vector. Okay.
Now, so that tells you how to get to the line. But I want to go beyond the line. So what do I have to do? Instead of going minus qxy, I have to go minus 2q of xy. So therefore, this is going to be minus 2. Q of xy. And this is going to be equal to, now I have the formula, so this is xy minus 2 into, have q here, it's xy dot ab over a squared plus b squared into ab.
Okay. Oh, no. I'm going to have to redo this.
Okay. Pick the wrong button here.
Okay, so in other words, for example, if you just want to try it, for example, let's just see that. Now you can actually see that it's linear. From here, you can see that t is linear. It's clear from here that t is linear.
You can actually write it out as an exercise. Well, actually, t is linear. Why is t linear? Actually, all of them are linear. T, p, and q are linear. T, p, and q are all linear transformations of R2.
Why? Basically, you can see right away the way you're getting them. You see, you're taking P of xy is xy dotted with some fixed vector times that times a vector. So the linearity, it's the linearity of the dot product. So in other words, you place xy by say by taking a linear combination of vectors, then using the linearity of the dot product, you get the linearity. So I'll leave that as an exercise to show that these are linear. And to compute, it's an exercise, and find these standard matrices of these transformations. you should never memorize these things. I mean, you can actually just compute. You can remember the formula, but not the matrix. Let's just give a numerical example. Let's take L to be the line x, say x minus y is equal to 0. It's a reflection in the line y equals x. Well, we should know what the formula for reflection in the line y equals x. It's just xy goes to, does everyone remember that? How you reflect in the line x equals y, t of xy will be yx. Let's just see that we actually does work. So in this particular case, the reflection here, t of xy, is then going to be by my formula, it's xy minus, well, 2xy. What is my a and my b here? Well, 1 and negative 1. I have to take a and b have to be 1 and negative 1, right? Because they're the coefficients of my line. A is 1, b is negative 1. So this is So this is 1 minus 1, and then divided by 1 squared plus 1 squared, which is 2. The 2's will cancel nicely. And then times 1 minus 1. So this is going to be equal to xy minus. Now, what's xy dot 1 minus 1? That's just x minus y, right? And then times, that's a scalar. That's a scalar times the vector 1 minus 1. So this is equal to xy minus the vector x minus y. And then the other one is going to be y minus x. And so this difference is going to be x minus y, which is y. And then y minus x, which is x. So isn't math great? It works out. You get the reflection in line. But this formula works with respect to any line. It's not just restricted to the line y equals x. So this way you can actually compute a reflection in any line going through the origin in this way. Okay. I should just, do you want me to do one more little thing here so you can tackle the web work problems? I just want to say just a couple of things with respect to an eigenvector. I mean, the definition U is, so if T is a linear transformation, let me just finish on this and I'll just give you, if say T from Rn into Rn is linear, then U belonging to Rn is an eigenvector of T if, say, U non-zero, if there is a scalar T, C with T of U equals to CU. Okay. C is unique, C is the eigenvalue of U, of the eigenvector. Now, that's all you need to do the computation. So for example, how do you find the eigenvectors? How to find So let me just very briefly do that, just using the definition. So all you have to do is using the definition, there's two buttons here I press. One will give me a nice page, and the other one will give me an infinitely long page, and press the wrong one. I'll have to redo this. For example, let's take a matrix A, which is, say, 1, 2, 2, 1. So now I want to find an eigenvector. So that defines a transformation of R2 into R2 by 1, 2, 2, 1, x equals by this is TA of x equals that. Now, if x is an eigenvector, x eigenvector, I'm just running doing too fast, is an eigenvector of TA if, say, TA of x equals CX. X, again, has to be non-zero. I'm looking for a non-zero vector with this property. Okay. And then, sorry about that. So in other words, you want AX equals CX. Or in other words, you want 1, 2, 2, 1. Let's write coordinates for X, XY equals C times XY. Or in other words, if you rewrite this all out, that's the same thing as saying that 1 X plus 2Y, 2Y plus X, equals the vector CX, CY. And of course, this is the same thing as saying that x plus 2y equals cx, and 2x plus y is equal to 2x plus y is equal to cy, or which is the same thing as saying, bringing this, the x's to one side, that 1 minus cx plus 2y equals 0, and then 2x into 1 minus cy is equal to 0. So you want this system of equations to have a non-zero solution for x and y. So what is the condition for a non-zero solution? So this system has a non-zero solution. Sorry. There's a non-zero solution. I pressed the wrong button. I don't want to go back to it. I have to redo the page. This system has a non-zero solution. What? If and only if. What? I have a homogeneous system of equations, two equations and two unknowns. There you have a criteria in terms of the coefficient matrix for the existence of a unique solution, namely 0, 0. What is that? When does that have a unique solution? The only solution is 0, 0. When that matrix is? No, the matrix. The term for the matrix is not the columns. The columns are linear independent, or the matrix is? The word I want is invertible. Okay. But I don't want that. I want it to be not invertible, because I want a non-zero solution. Now, in terms, there's a criteria for invertibility that we did for 2x2 matrices. It's what? If the determinant is not zero. So if and only if the determinant of the system, 1 minus C, 1 minus C, is equal to 0. And if you write this out, this is 1 minus c squared is minus 4c. Minus 4c is equal to 0, or which is the same thing as saying c squared minus 4. There's no c. Minus 4 is equal to 0, or that's saying the same thing as c squared minus 2c plus 1 minus 4, which is minus 3, is equal to 0. And you can see right away that this factors into c minus 3 c plus 1. So this is the same thing as saying that in here you can see right away that this is the same thing as saying that c is equal to 3 or c equals minus 1. So for 2x2 matrices, finding the eigenvectors is rather easy from what we know already, and it requires a theory of determinants. For higher matrices, we're going to need higher determinants, and this is the next topic of the course. So basically, do the assignment. You really just says all you need to know is how to compute the eigenvectors and what we've done so far. You'll find it a lot easier than the last one. The last one was really tough.